Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff.
Let's go, fellas, let's go.
Every Monday evening at 6, meet our special Green Bay guest.
Come on, win the game.
Now live from Tavern in the Sky at the top of Lodge Kohler, Green Bay. Here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. It is the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Excuse me. We are broadcasting live Lodge Kohler here at Tavern in the Sky. I'm Bill Michaels, and alongside our guest tonight, Oren Burks, rookie linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, joining us up here this evening. And first of all, thanks for coming up, and appreciate you hanging out with us for a little while.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Let me ask you this. So the plane ride home yesterday, do you look at it as glasses half full or glasses half empty? You've gone toe-to-toe now with two of the better teams in the National Football League. You just come up short. So what is the mentality right now over 1265?
Definitely optimistic. I mean, we're looking at the film today. We had some good, some bad, definitely some plays we wish we had back. But we're playing pretty good ball, and just we need that consistency that's going to take us on to that next step. So
interesting, because yeah. Aaron Rodgers used the word consistency on the offensive side. Yeah. Is it just – do you feel like it's just a matter of putting it together?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Just putting that full game together, like in the past couple games, like we've had some really, really great play that's elite level play, and then there's a couple plays that kind of set us back and get us off schedule. So it's a matter, like you said, like consistency has been the big thing been preached to us. We know like what it takes to win, and we just got to do that on a consistent basis. So.
Now, when you came out of Vanderbilt, you were drafted, and you were a guy that was looked at as it's either a good or a bad, because you've played numerous positions. You played safety, you played linebacker, you played all over, so you can adapt. Some will say, well, that's not great because he doesn't have that seasoning. Others will say, because he can play anywhere, it makes you more valuable. So how long has it taken you, or are you even yet comfortable in your role?
I feel like I've slipped in my role pretty well. Obviously, I'm a rookie. I'm learning every game. So there's a lot of things that I'll add to my game as the years go on. But I feel like that versatility that I had in college has definitely prepared me to play at this level, and kind of like that safety background, coming off the edge a little bit, the hybrid position, then playing inside my last year at Vanderbilt. All that has kind of built me into the player that I am today. So there's definitely room for improvement always. I feel like I have a good foundation.
Have they asked you to play safety? Have you done that at all, or is it just
No, it's just been okay. Just straight linebacker. Yep.
Could you?
I don't know. If it's asked of me, I'll adjust and make it happen. Okay. But I mean, right now I don't think that's a need. So
it's interesting because they're playing the smaller guys more so at safety, and you would be a safety or a corner going back 15, 20 years. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the oddity of the way the league has morphed and changed. I look at big guys today, and they'd be defensive ends rather than playing safety. You know what I mean? So the league has changed so much. So how – I mean, I guess answer me this is, as you get in – because you started off the season with a shoulder injury, and how long did it – does it still bother you, by the way?
No, I don't feel it now. Put me in the harness, and it's no problem now.
Are you playing with a harness every game?
Yep, every game. Just kind of precautions, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So how long has it taken you to get comfortable in just the harness, the role, you're just kind of going through the rigors of an NFL season?
Yeah, I kind of felt like I was getting the hang of it two preseason games into it, and then got hurt like the beginning of the third.
You got hurt in warm-ups.
And warm-ups, yeah. That was kind of unfortunate. Just a weird we're doing block destruction drill and kind of hit at a weird angle, and it popped out. So it's one of those things that you can't predict it, can't call it, but you just got to take it and keep rolling with the punches.
Is that something that's been problematic in your career? Is it the first
time?
No,
I've never had any shoulder issues.
It's been a blessing. Yeah. Going, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Right? It was kind of weird. Just felt like it was dangling down my arm, and I was like, this is not right. So got it checked out by the trainers right away, and unfortunately that was kind of the case, but just had to take it and keep rolling with it.
Because it's something that once it happens, it can be problematic. It can happen again and again and again. But you haven't had any incidents with it since?
No, I haven't. No, our training staff has done a great job with rehab and making sure it's staying nice and firm and strong and everything around it. So I feel confident that's not an issue anymore. So, I mean, I'm feeling good going into these games.
Does it affect you with your hand-to-hand play?
No, it doesn't. Not okay. Like I was saying now, like I have pretty much full mobility. There's a couple moves that I can't do, but everything within my range of what I need to do block destruction-wise or long arm, that kind of thing, it's all good.
So when you came out of Vanderbilt and you get drafted by the Green Bay Packers, first of all, talk about, you know, that experience. Let's go back to draft day and the fact that they call your name and call your number and say, hey, you're off to the Green Bay Packers as a linebacker.
Yeah, it's surreal. I was surrounded by family and friends at my home in Virginia. I was kind of just watching the draft and not knowing what was going to happen. I was kind of a borderline day two, day three guy. So just, I don't know, just wasn't really expecting a lot. And the next thing you know, I looked down, I got a call from a 920 number, and knew it was the Packers, and I got really excited and kind of let my family know and everything. So it's cool to kind of share that moment with them, because there's a lot of people that have invested in my life to get me to this point. Like, I definitely didn't get here alone. So it was kind of a cool moment to kind of share that with my family and friends that kind of helped me get to this point. So
did you know the Packers were looking at you specifically?
I came on a visit. I think it was like 2 days before the deadline for visits. So I came out here to Green Bay in April. It was actually snow in the parking lot, which kind of threw me off a little bit. But it was really cool to come out here and kind of meet some of the coaches and the personnel staff and just hear some more about the history that they have here in Titletown. And I remember leaving. I was like, man, this would be an awesome place to start my career off. And it's one of the best organizations in the NFL, so I'm glad to be here.
So when you get here and you get indoctrinated, you bring in a guy, Mike McCarthy brings in a guy like Mike Pettin, very high energy, very accountability driven. You got veterans who have been here a while that are all singing his praises. So tell me what it's like right now, defensively speaking, for that group.
Yeah, I think, like you said, we have some veterans that have been in previous systems before, but kind of hearing what they liked about the system is like it's a fast paced defense. Like, you're gonna have opportunities to make plays on the ball and really get after defensively with blitz packages and things like that. So, I mean, it's a cool opportunity to step into.
When you guys played the Rams, now you had about 25 snaps over the last two weeks playing defense. So the Rams and the Patriots, was there anything that they threw at you? Because everybody tries to throw some unscouted looks. How? Because that first drive by the Patriots last night, that was, you guys were on your heels almost the entire time. That was very difficult. So was that a lot of unscouted looks or things that they had?
I think it was more tempo. That was something that the Rams did the week before, that when we had our feet set and we're ready to go, we were dominating them. But I feel like once we got to tempo, we were kind of on our heels a little bit. So the Patriots kind of took that first drive and really just hit the tempo real hard with us. And unfortunately, they got a score early. But I think we bounced back after that pretty well and played pretty good defense. But like I said, there's still a couple plays we wish we had back. But I mean, I think we're taking strides towards being the defense that we know we're capable of being.
Was that, when you say tempo, was that something that you think the Patriots looked at what the Rams did early on in that ballgame and said, okay,
very
this is the way we're going to get to them?
Yeah.
So was there an adjustment made after that first series to say, okay, let's do this or let's change that?
I think it was more of a, just kind of a refocus as a defense and then getting to some calls a little bit quicker. But I feel like that refocus piece was really big, kind of get back on track and be that stout defense that we know it can be.
Early on in the season, you were wearing the green dot helmet. You were a guy that was part of that communication group. So how much did that being given that responsibility, I guess you'll learn it on the fly, you'll learn it much faster, but how much did that help you in kind of studying what it is Mike Pettin wanted you to do?
Yeah, early in preseason, it was definitely a different shift that you have to make being the commander of the defense. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that, knowing your stuff. So that was something I hadn't done too much in college, but I had done a little bit. But it's a little bit different with the dot, like having somebody talking in your ear. That kind of threw me off a little bit. But I feel like it's a huge responsibility, and Blake's done a great job being the play caller for us and getting guys set, because that's really who they look to when things go bad or when things go well. It's like that guy, the center of the defense. So,
how much do you feel you've progressed in the 8 weeks?
I mean, tremendously. I mean, there's, like I said, there's always room for improvement. There's a lot of things that I'm getting better at, but I just try to strive myself and just getting better every day. So like taking one thing that I can work on and practice and then try to perfect that and then stacking days to make sure that I'm getting to where I want to be later on.
Now, I know I had mentioned coming out of Vanderbilt, playing in that conference, you had some mighty powerhouses you guys went up against. I want to go back to the college days a little bit. Talk about the SEC. Talk about what it was like playing in that thing, because you guys had a grind every week, whether it was the likes of even Florida all the way over to Alabama, obviously. But talk about playing in the SEC.
Man, it was a great experience. I feel like there's a couple coaches that say there's the NFC, AFC, and then this SEC. So it's like it's one of the best conferences to compete. Like, there's a lot of, like, looking at it now, like every game there's been somebody I played against in college or know of from college that played in the SEC. And when you're playing that type of caliber players like every week, it definitely prepares you to get to this level. So you got to bring it every week. There's no slacks. I mean, for us at Vanderbilt, like we really took that chip on our shoulder mentality, because We like people assume we're going to be at the bottom of the SEC, but like we wanted to compete every game day to make sure that we get our spotlight, get our chances. And like as you can see, these last couple of years, we had a lot more guys coming out for the league, and got guys like Casey Hayward that was here before, really shining when they get to this stage.
So, how many schools were you recruited by coming out of Virginia?
Yeah, I had 15 offers, I think.
Okay.
I got it down between UVA and Vanderbilt, so like very similar schools. Where academics was important, but ultimately just wanted to kind of go down to Nashville and play in the SEC. I felt like it was a good blend, but a lot of ACC schools and schools up north. But Vanderbilt was actually my only SEC offer. So yeah.
I got a tweet here from a handle named Sabi who just said, "Can you do me a favor? Compare Nashville to Green Bay." And you mentioned Nashville, so I might as well go ahead and get it out of the way. But give me the difference, or give me what it's like between the towns.
Yeah, Nashville is in the south. I mean, you have great barbecue there all the time. So I kind of I've been looking for it. So if there's any suggestions of barbecue spots here in Green Bay, I'm definitely taking suggestions because I'm a big food guy. I kind of got spoiled while I was in Nashville. But Green Bay is awesome, man. The fans here, they buy into the organization. And when it comes game day, it's electric, man. You step out onto that field, even just driving in, you see fans tailgating and everything. So it's been a cool kind of difference between Nashville and Green Bay to kind of let things slow down a little bit and just, like, focus on ball. So
yeah, I get friends that come in from out of town that have been to either it's Ohio State or Alabama or down to the Iron Bowl, down to Auburn, and they come in and they say it's like a collegiate atmosphere.
Yep.
So what time of the day do you get here on a Sunday for, like, a noon kickoff?
For, like, a noon kickoff would be probably like 9:30 or so. We get in pretty early, but you can see people out very, very early.
They get here 7 or 6
and drinking
7
beers,
in the morning,
and beers and stuff before they even have their breakfast. So it's just different, man. It's cool.
First game on that Sunday night, it's a little different because everybody's been here all day. But when you come pulling in, you're just thinking to yourself, are you kidding me? These people are crazy. You're kidding me?
Yeah.
Getting back to the games that you guys have had over the last couple of weeks, obviously not the success you've wanted. So you're sitting at 3-4-1 right now. You talked about the glasses half full mentality. So what is it like with some of the leaders right now on this team that are saying, you know, I guess what are the leaders saying on this team right now?
Definitely the consistency piece is a major thing. And then one thing that like a lot of the guys have been preaching is just do your job. I mean, when it comes down to it, like if everybody wins their one-on-one matchup, I mean, that's going to work out well for the team. So it's been about like getting back to the details of the game, getting back to consistency, and just playing at a high level. The play style that we want to have, playing fast, playing physical, that's a major piece as well.
Talking with Oren Burks, the linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler at Tavern in the Sky. It is Lodge Kohler kickoff. We have got more coming up right after this. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live here at Tavern in the Sky. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff, and we are here this evening with Oren Burks, middle linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. By the way, I got a buddy of mine who just texted me and said, tell Oren he recommends trying Timeline Saloon and Barbecue at Doc's Harley-Davidson.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
He said, give that a shot. He said, that's fantastic.
All right.
So there you go. So now you're getting all kinds of different barbecue suggestions.
Keep it coming in.
If you got a buddy, you know, hey, even if you do barbecue yourself?
I'm learning to. I haven't really got a chance to. I was living on campus and things like that, but now I got my own spot, and that's definitely something I'm looking into.
Because the dry rubs can be just as good as the wet stuff, without a doubt. If you want to give us a shout, you can. Don't forget, you can always hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook, @Bill_Michaels, or just go to Facebook, Lodge Kohler Kickoff. You can track us down on Twitter as well. Twitter.com/Kohler Kickoff. You can find us there. And in addition to that, we have got the United Way in-house tonight. If you want to go make a donation, it's right at the front over by the bar area. If you want to make a donation to the United Way, you can certainly swing by there as well. Talking with Oren Burks, linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. So talk about your, you know, getting playing time finally here in Green Bay. Obviously, the season started off kind of interesting with the you know, Aaron Rodgers coming back in the second half of that Bears game. So tell me what it was like coming out of that tunnel for the first time, getting that first win, seeing what it was like to be a Green Bay Packer.
Man, like I said, it was electric coming out for that first game in Sunday Night Football. I mean, that's stuff you dream about as a kid playing football. It's like, all right, I'm going to get a chance to play on the big stage with the big boys. So It was a cool experience. It's a humbling experience for sure. And to get a win like that, it was definitely cherishing a lot of memories there.
Not to say that you get more jacked up for one game over the other, but there's something to be said for playing under the lights on Monday or Sunday.
Absolutely.
Night football, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, did you play many games at Vanderbilt under the lights?
We had a lot of day games. We had a couple night games. I think the first two or three years we played like a Thursday night game. It was like the premier to college football, that kind of thing. So those were always really cool. But it's just something different about those NFL Sunday night or Monday night games. So,
what is it like being a rookie and then you're going against the starting offense? Because you know, as when you come in, you play everything. You play special teams. You're kind of a backup. What is it like in practice every day, going against the likes of a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Man, it's a challenge. I mean, he brings it every week. He's a huge competitor. That's one thing I realized very early, coming in. He's throwing no look passes, stuff like you've never seen that in college. So, definitely makes you want to be on your A game when it comes to just challenging yourself every day. So
how much do you feel that you, I mean, everybody, like you said, there's always room for improvement, but how much do you feel you have to grow into this game? Because it's not something you just step into and say, all of a sudden I'm an NFL player and I'm as good as everybody else. You want to believe it, but you know, knowledge more so than physicality is what it's all about.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing I did realize, like, coming to this level is when you realize the repercussions of not doing the little things, you realize that there are no little things in this game. Like, every detail matters. And I feel like that applies to life as well. Like, the better you are at these details, the better you're going to be valued when it comes to production and things like that. So.
Tell me your story, because you grew up in Virginia, and obviously you had success in high school and you get recruited. But let's go back to how you got into football to begin with.
Yeah, so freshman year, I played 1 year ankle biters football. I was like 6 or 7. Didn't play again until my freshman year of high school.
Just didn't like it? Or
I was a basketball guy. I had a lot of family that played basketball, and one of my friends – back in high school, he dared me to come out for the team freshman year, and I was like, oh, what the heck, might as well try to, because I knew the month of August they were going to be in camp, and I wasn't going to be able to hang out with my friends and things like that. So gave it a shot and really liked it. Was playing safety and wide receiver a little bit that year. The next year I was on varsity playing outside linebacker, safety, hybrid, and then we made a run my junior year to the state championship, and that's when I really just like found a love for the game. Developed lifelong friendships. We still have a group chat from high school that, like, we still text each other every day, that kind of thing. But some offers started coming after that junior year, and I was like, all right, this is where I want to be playing college ball at the next level. So I kind of took that leap of faith early on, and it ended up working out for me. So,
when you were playing both kind of both ways, did you enjoy wide receiver more, or did you enjoy
Definitely defense.
Did
definitely
you really?
Defense, yeah.
There's some guys that just like the thrill of closing speed and hitting somebody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yep. Like to do the hitting, not getting hit.
That's right. So we were talking off the air because, you know, get a lot of rookies. You don't know who's coming with you. You know, if it's girlfriends, wives, family, friends. So you're here on your own. Girlfriend's back in Nashville.
Yep.
Kind of hanging out. So it was funny because we were talking because her family's from Minneapolis.
They're not Vikings fans. No.
So now, did they come over? Have they come over to see you?
Yeah, they've come to two games. They came to the Vikings game, of course. Then they came to They came to two games this year. It's all running together now. But yeah.
So now they're Packers fans, obviously.
Of course, of course.
But they're hockey people.
Yeah, they are hockey fans. Yeah,
really?
Her dad played a little bit of hockey as well. So.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, was he good at it? Or
yeah, he was pretty good. He's
okay.
Pretty good.
Was he? Did he play pro or?
I think it was semi-pro. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Semi-pro. Yeah.
So, well, there you go. You ever wanted to skate and play?
Not too much.
There's some hitting in hockey.
Yeah,
too.
There is. It's just I never learned how to skate that well enough to. Take it onto the ice. And,
trust me, you're going to have plenty of ice around here after the season's over. If you want to learn how to skate, you know, there's plenty of opportunity. So as you guys begin to move forward, you guys have still a tough schedule ahead. You got Miami coming to town, and you go back on the road to the West Coast. How tough is it to get acclimated via the West Coast? You guys went out to L.A. a little bit early to try to kind of get the body clock set. How tough is a West Coast trip?
Honestly, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I feel like as the way we're wired as NFL players, we're kind of ready to play on demand. We did go out a day early to kind of get acclimated a little bit. It was good to have two nights of sleep there to kind of get adjusted to the schedule. But when the time comes to come out there and produce, that's what we have to do. So we kind of adjusted to that.
Had you ever played in the Coliseum before?
I had not, no.
What is it like?
It was awesome, man. The Packers fans, it was basically a home game for us.
Yeah.
They were awesome. from the time we were coming out early to warm up and stuff like that, and it was, you could see it was just filled, and you already knew that it was going to be a special game. So
it's got to be almost awe inspiring. You come to a place like Lambeau and play at Lambeau Field that is so historic, and now you get a chance to go to the Coliseum. Not to say that a place like Gillette Stadium or wherever isn't historic, but the Coliseum has got so much history.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
and it's kind of cool. There's a lot of guys like Clay Matthews that played in it before, and I don't think he had played there since his college days, that kind of thing. So, for a lot of guys that played in the Rose Bowl and things like that, it was kind of a reunion for them. But I never got that chance. But
you guys used USC's locker room, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of like Clay's homecoming.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, you saw the USC stuff on the walls and things like that. So it was really cool for us.
So I mean, to play in a place like that, 80-something thousand people, is that? That's not the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of, or is it?
No, I don't think. I'm not. I'm pretty sure I've had like 100,000 or so. UT, South Carolina, there's a couple other SEC schools.
I was
going to
say, Tennessee's got a big stadium now too, don't they? Yeah. Did you guys play at Alabama at all?
No, they came to us this last year. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Alabama's a juggernaut, isn't
it?
Is that like is that like playing a pro team?
Yeah, I feel like that was the best equivalent to a pro team. Like every time when I was coming in for pre-draft visits and things like that, they pull up that Bama tape because that is the comparison. How do you stack up against a big guy? So
I mean, they are pretty much held to a different standard. Them, Ohio State, there's a couple of teams that are like that. Clemson has really come on as of late as a team that's been really, really good. Georgia, obviously, coming out of the SEC. Tell me about Georgia. Tell me about playing.
Yeah, Georgia. That backfield they had with Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb was special, man. Those guys they run extremely hard, and they complement each other very well as well. So it was cool to compete against them because they kind of came in the same year as I was there. So to see them grow at their position and kind of compete with them consistently throughout the years was pretty cool.
Coaches give speeches. We were talking about this earlier today. Coaches give speeches to where. You know, they're inspirational. They fire you up. They get you going. They educate. Is there a big difference between the college pregame raw to the being a professional now?
Yeah, I think there's I kind of noticed that early on. Like, it's more of like, this is your job. This is how you know what needs to be done. You need to go out there and execute. College and high, even going back to high school, is a lot of rah-rah. It's like, God, we're going to kill him, that kind of thing. And college is a little less, but there's still that hype-up mentality. But when it comes to the pros, like, I feel like it's just like you got to get the job done. And, like, there's a little bit of rah-rah, but, like, it comes down to execution.
Who's the talkers defensively?
We have a number of guys. Jair, he's been coming around. He's been making
a
lot.
He's a young guy. He's got a lot too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has a lot. Man, that's one thing I will say. Like, for him coming in as a rookie, you could tell it was something different about him. Just his energy that he brings. Like, he's just really brings a lot of juice to the defense, and it's contagious.
Yeah. Who else? Who else gets you?
Mike Daniels for sure. He's a big guy. Man, he's been a tremendous leader for us. In terms of just being a professional, seeing what he does on and off the field for the community here in Green Bay and beyond, and also just knowing what it takes to be a professional, he's been a big guy for us as well.
How much of a talker is he, or is he just a lead by example with a guy like, say, Clay Matthews?
He's kind of a mix of both. Like, he talks when he needs to, but at the other time, like, he performs as well. Like, when you even in walkthroughs, you can see, like, he has a certain sense of urgency about him that rings true to how he plays his game. Mm-hmm. And that definitely takes it to another level.
And then now, is it a guy like Blake Martinez? Is that who you kind of follow? Is that kind of who's helped you, or who else?
Yeah, Blake has been great for me as a rookie. I mean, this is third year in the league now, and he's playing a high level ball. Really smart guy, in the right place at the right time. And man, he's been a great linebacker for us this year. And kind of just learning from what he does, and from Coach Graham as well. I mean, I feel like we're in a good spot as a linebacker core to kind of compete with each other for playing time and to get the job done. So
okay, if I'm going to say the strength of Oren Burks is. Fill in that blank.
I think about speed. I feel like that speed at linebacker is kind of what the game is moving towards. I don't know. I feel like there's something about that kind of just allows me to make certain plays that some other linebackers can't. So
what is the weakness?
The weakness, definitely, I would say, like, technique, because I am kind of new to the position, shedding blocks and being, like, in on the run and things like that. That's stuff that I'm definitely improving on. But with the right coaching and just getting reps, I feel like I'm getting a lot better.
Yeah, I was going to say you've grown as a player. I mean, just your snaps have increased and the ability and what we've seen has increased. So with your speed, you talked about that. We were talking about James White earlier being the weapon coming out of the backfield for the New England Patriots. How do you feel that you match up and some of these guys, some of these running backs and some of these slot receivers or tight ends that are coming out of the backfield, coming out of the slot position, coming off the line of scrimmage? How do you feel you match up against some of these guys?
I think I match up pretty well. Good straight line speed. I'm definitely step for step for them. Some of the wiggle stuff I got to work on a little bit, but I mean, I feel like that's not too far off of my skill set, being that versatile athlete. I feel like that's going to allow me to make plays in this league for a while. So
let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. We are talking with Oren Burks, middle linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, joining us here inside Tavern in the Sky for the Lodge Kohler kickoff. We got a lot more coming up right after this. Kohler kickoff, and we're at Tavern in the Sky here in Green Bay, right across the street from Lambeau Field. If you want to come by and say hello, feel free to do so. Here about another 30 minutes or so. Oren Burks, middle linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, joining us on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. And I want to remind you, there's a lot of things going on here at Lodge Kohler. They got a 3-day celebration. It's going to feature some intimate gatherings with legendary Super Bowl champions Dorsey Levins, James Jones, the Pro Football Hall of Famer Dave Robinson, and the guests are going to get to know, you're going to get to know more about their lives on and off the field. There is some really cool events coming up. James Jones is hosting a halftime chalk talk during the Thursday night football game, a fireside chat with Dave Robinson during a lunch on that Friday, and happy hour with all three legends that night, breakfast with Dorsey Levins that Saturday morning. It is coming up the week of November 15th through the 17th. So basically next Wednesday through the weekend, it's going to be a great time. And the package is available right now. They're limited to just 34 guests, and they are selling out quickly. So I encourage you to get a hold of the people here at Lodge Kohler and get yourself in for one of those packages, because it's going to be a fantastic time. A couple of weeks up here as you get ready for Thursday night football. And also, we want to get to the Hupie and Abraham good drive of the game. This one was an easy one. It tied the ball game up. Jimmy Graham, this was the connection everybody was looking at all season long, specifically going back to the preseason. We thought we'd see a lot more of this. Hopefully, this is the start of many things to come. But the Hupie and Abraham good drive of the game, Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy Graham. Here it is.
They block at one as he takes the snap. Dancing in the pocket, fires to the end zone, and it's caught. Jimmy Graham for the touchdown.
So there you go. That's the Hupie and Abraham good drive of the game, reminding you never to text and drive. Also saying thanks to a lot of great sponsors, our friends at Lodge Kohler and our friends at Signature Limo, Pat and Brooke and everybody there. They're good people. And if you're going to take a ride, whether it's to the airport or a great night in the town, call our friends over at Signature Limo, because they'll get you covered and take care of you. Fantastic. So talking with Oren Burks here, and we were just sitting here talking, when you get drafted, you get to come to Lambeau. The first time you come through the door, and there's the legendary Aaron Rodgers. And last night we're watching goats on TV, but you get a chance to play with a guy each and every day. But what's it like coming into that locker room with a veteran like that?
Yeah, it's special. I mean, I'm a couple lockers away from him, so coming in as a rookie, I was like, all right, I want to watch how he acts, like just in the downtime. And he's a true professional. He carries himself in a way that's a huge, huge asset to the team. Just being the leader that he is, he competes in everything he does, from little games that we have, like in the off season and OTAs and things like that. But he's a huge competitor, and he's extremely detailed about his work. So that's what I picked up pretty early.
Does he know you're paying attention to him?
I think he knows. Yeah, he sees everything.
Yeah,
he's good awareness. Yeah, for sure.
So has he talked to you about just here's what it's like to be a professional? Here's what it's like to be a Packer. Here, I mean, do you get a chance to know him on that level?
A little bit. He kind of
just at the Halloween costume contest. You know.
Yeah, but he kind of talked to the rookies. Him and Randall. They talked to, and Blake as well. They talked to the rookies, kind of what to expect for your first year. And he really just touched on just like being a true professional and everything that you do, the way you carry yourself, and the way you dive into the details, the extra work that goes into it, and just kind of letting us know it doesn't happen overnight either, because everybody has a different timetable of when they kind of peak and when they get to the level of play that it's elite in this league. But he's just like, just be committed to the process and just keep chipping away at it.
Is it ever overwhelming?
At times it is, but I mean, you find a way to kind of just be where your feet are, just be like 100% focused, So like I'm here, sitting here talking to you, just locked in on that, not thinking about anything else. When you're able to do that, you're not multitasking and being a lot more effective. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, because some guys come in and they just start to drown in information. Yeah. And I mean, I know the practice is important. You win Wednesday through Friday, not necessarily on Sunday, but the mental aspect of it, to go out and only get a couple of reps and then say, okay, we're going to look at this to see what you did and didn't do. A ton of film study, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so when you get into all of that, has it been something that you've been accustomed to when you were at Vanderbilt, that you had a ton of film study, or is this just now intensive?
We had a lot of film study, but it's more, I feel like now it's just like it's a matter of you just getting it done. Before, we kind of had a lot of coaches' cut-ups that they made and things like that. So now it's like on you to like find out what you need to know to play at your peak when it comes game day. So,
what's it like? You today you guys had a chance to, as a team, look at the game film, right?
Yep.
So now what? So now do you take the iPad home with you or whatever it is and start going through stuff, or what is it?
Yeah, I try to watch it before we watch it as a team, kind of get my initial thoughts and then get the coaching points later, and then I'll probably go back through it a little bit later today to fine-tune kind of my technique and things like that and get a jump on the next opponent. So we have Miami coming up. So that it's all right there for you. We have the iPads available pretty much every game you could think of, and some cut-ups already in there for us. So I just got to dive into it.
So when they say, look, it's kind of on you, is it something that you kind of surface through on your own? Or like you said, some coaches will put cut-ups, or is there certain things that you need to work on that you say, okay, this particular thing I need to look at specifically? Or how does that work when you start just kind of surfing around?
Yeah, this is great. There's great guidance from the coaches. Like, are these some things that we need to look for this coming week according to the game plan, that kind of thing? But for me, like I'm still coming up with the process that works best for me, because like it's different from college, but at the same time, like I know how I learn. Like I'm a visual guy, so I have to draw up things, so I have a whiteboard in my room. I try to draw plays and things like that. So it's all kind of tailored to where what you think will allow you to perform best.
It's interesting because Marquez Valdes-Scantling told us he wrote out every play like three times. He actually wrote it out. That way he learned it. He said it wasn't just looking. You couldn't just look at it and say, I know it.
Yep.
So he actually wrote it out. Is that kind of the way you are too?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah.
Interesting, because I don't know why we absorb it differently that way. It just is. So at what point do you go to natural ability versus using your head all the time? Because as you're thinking, you're not moving. You know what I mean? The adage is, if you're thinking, you're not doing it. Yeah. So have you gotten to the point yet that you're really not thinking as much, that it's becoming more reactive?
I don't think it's on a consistent basis. I'm still not where I need to be, but there's been some spurts of like subconscious play. That's what's kind of what you're talking about. It's like you're not thinking about it. You're just playing and flow of the game and just rolling with it. So I need to sharpen my mental aspect to kind of be able to do that on a more consistent basis. But
who's your go-to when you get something on film and you're like, I haven't seen this, or I'm getting a little bogged down here? Who's your go-to?
Probably Blake or Coach Graham. I mean, Blake, he's been playing this league for only 3 years, but he has a great knowledge for the game, and he communicates it on a way that I can really understand as a player. So,
okay. I wanted to ask you, because when you came into the league, coming out of college, one of the things that I had noted here, you were one of the you know, guys that had a national both on and off the field recognition. It was for community service.
Yep.
So talk about that, because you had mentioned that early on in our conversation, talking about some of the things in the community. So talk about what got you into the community service to begin with.
Yeah, to begin with, I definitely say my upbringing, my family definitely enforced the importance of giving back to the community as much as possible. We're doing a lot of like shoe drives and things like that early on, and kind of carried that over to college. And I ended up being the Student Athlete Advisory Council president. So with that, we organize a lot of community events in Nashville. And use that platform that we have as athletes to really make a difference in kids and everybody around the city of Nashville. So with that, and then I was co-founder for an organization called Revamp, so Revitalizing and Empowering Vanderbilt's African American Male Population. So a lot of mentorship through that, and kind of learning what, like, especially for freshmen coming in, like where the barbershop is, like little things like that kind of help you feel a little bit more at home, and just like dispelling some of the negative stereotypes about being a black male in society and things like that. So a lot of community work through that. Intern with Souls for Souls. They're a nonprofit out of Nashville. They collect donated shoes. So if you guys have shoes to donate, I'd be happy to take some and send them off to them. but a lot of really cool organizations there in Nashville that are giving back in a unique way.
How do you start something like that here? I mean, do you go to the community outreach program of the Green Bay Packers? Do they come to you and say, do you want to be involved in something? How does that work?
Yeah, they kind of get a feel for what you're interested in. So for me, it's youth empowerment. I'm really, really passionate about that. So they paired us up with the Boys and Girls Club here and had a really cool event with them a week or two ago. So eventually, I hope to be working with them in the future.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, I kind of wanted to kind of, especially as a rookie, come in and figure out what the needs are in the community and kind of go from there. I didn't want to jump in. It's like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Right.
To kind of see what other guys have already been doing. Like Mike Daniel, he has his thing going on with his wife. Randall Cobb has a foundation, and HaHa has a foundation as well. So a lot of guys are doing great work here already. So
when you come in, first of all, it's a lot different coming into, I mean, even Nashville is a bigger city than Green Bay. You came to the smallest major sports market in all of sports. I mean, and it's different. So it's not necessarily the most it's not a huge metropolis. There's only so much to go around. So do you, for a while, just kind of go to different events with different guys and just try to support what they're doing?
Yeah, that's kind of been my focus, especially this first year, like I said, to kind of get a gist of what guys are already doing here. And then there's a lot of opportunities in Milwaukee as well. So I'm just kind of learning what Wisconsin is about and how it can help. That's really
now. You're
going to
be in Milwaukee tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
I will
right?
be. Yep.
Yeah. You're doing.
Yep.
What are you doing? A signing.
Doing the signing. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Where at?
I gotta pull it up. Hold on a second.
Well, we can find out after the commercial break. Let's do this. Oren Burks with us. We got a final segment of the program coming up. I want to remind you that if you want to be a part of the program, if you can always come up here on Monday night and join us here at the Lodge Kohler at Tavern in the Sky. But if you'd like to have a Green Bay Packer player an appearance in your commercial or over at your executive meetings or just at a party, whatever it happens to be, Donald Driver, James Jones, Nick Collins, John Kuhn, and so many more, all rep by Lammy Sports. Call them 414-727-3600 or visit LammySports.com, L-A-M-M-I Sports.com. It's easier to hire a Packer with Lammy. Again, don't forget to find us on Facebook at Lodge Kohler Kickoff, the same on Instagram, and on Twitter, it is Kohler Kickoff. Final segment with Oren Burks coming up next. Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live, Tavern in the Sky at Lodge Kohler here. And I also want to let you know that our friends from the Wisconsin Stem Cell Therapy Injury Report, Geronimo Allison, inactive for Sunday's game. He had a couple of guys get a little bit nicked up. Obviously, Blake Martinez left with an ankle injury, and he ended up coming back in that ball game. You had Kevin King went down with a hamstring injury, did not return. Brian Bulaga went down as well. They had more than a few injuries in that ball game. And it's all brought to you by the Wisconsin Stem Cell Therapy Injury Report. And they want to make you aware that Wisconsin Stem Cell, you don't have to live with back pain. Try stem cell therapy from our friends over at WSC. Go to their Wisconsin Stem Cell website, WISSTEMCELL.com, WISSTEMCELL.com, and find out about their free seminars. Also, thanks to our sponsors, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame and our friends at Sargento Cheese. Also, I mentioned Signature Limo a little bit earlier today. Hupie and Abraham, Waukesha Sports Card. You can make it great. Have it signed by a great at Waukesha Sports Cards as well. Talking with Oren Burks. So now you guys get ready for Miami. I guess one of the things that everybody looks to is it's going to be cold. It's going to be in a third. Now, how many cold, really cold games did you play at Vanderbilt? Because Nashville's not necessarily the mecca of snow.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of snow, but we do get some pretty cold games. There's normally about three or four that are probably 40s or 30s or so.
Okay.
I do remember our senior night against Missouri. It was like freezing rain. That was probably the coldest game by far. But
have they talked to you about the cold weather here in Green Bay at all?
You hear rumors of it. And then, like I said, when I came in April for my visit, there was snow in the parking lot. So that really threw me off.
Yeah.
But was the 49ers game and then this Patriots game. It wasn't too bad. So hopefully it doesn't get much worse than this. It probably will.
you're in for a rude awakening, dude. I'm serious, man. Some of the coldest games ever to be played in National Football League history have been played here.
Yep. Yeah, I believe it.
25-30 below.
That's why they call it the frozen tundra. Huh?
Yeah, that's historically, yes, but I'll tell you this, it sucks. Whether you're a player or somebody just going to the game, it's awful. So you'll get used to it eventually. It's funny because in today's day and age, it's not the way it used to be. Now you've got heated benches, you've got heaters on the sideline. You get cold initially when you run out on the field, but once the adrenaline starts going and the play starts happening, you're good to go until you have to come back to the sideline. The biggest thing, I guess, is your feet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Feet and hands.
The feet have been the biggest thing so far, but like you said, those heater benches and the heaters on the sideline, they help out a lot. We get a little spoiled, but it's a tough game getting out there. Once you get out there, the hits are a little bit bone-crushing, that
more.
Kind of thing, yeah, when it's cold out. So.
Well, you got Miami coming to town. It should be, I think, in the 30s or low 40s for that
ballgame.
Yeah,
good for us then. Good for
us. That's what I was going to say, which is perfect for Green Bay Packer football. So the rest of the season, I mean, the margin for error is minimal. Is that something you guys talk about, or is it just something you know in the back of your head?
I think it's kind of understood. Like I said, like this, there's a huge sense of urgency now for everybody on the team, from practice squad on through personnel staff. We know that we have to come together and kind of get this job done because a lot's weighing on these next couple games. So,
yeah. Seth, who tweeted us a little bit earlier, says, can you have him describe Vanderbilt's defense and scheme to Mike Pettine's defense and scheme? Mm.
There's a lot of similarities. The terminology is a lot different, but I feel like everybody kind of runs the same cover three, cover four, cover two. Mason and Pettine, they like to bring it on third down with different blitzes and not knowing where we're coming from in that sense. But I said the biggest differences was kind of just the terminology. A lot of the techniques and things that we're doing as a defense are very similar.
Mark wanted to know. He said, "Okay, we know you love barbecue. What else do you like to do when you're not at the stadium?"
Let's see. I picked up photography. My girlfriend, she does photography, so I've been trying to mess with that a little bit. I got a Canon Rebel T6, so taking tips on that as well. I like to read. I was basically a business major at Vanderbilt, so looking at that and I don't know, just anything that piques my interest.
Well, when you talk about photography, is it like portrait photography? I mean, do you aspire one day to work at Sears and take pictures of kids on ponies?
I've been more drawn to kind of like landscapes, just outdoors kind of stuff, beaches, and here it's been awesome here in the fall. So it's getting a little cold, but definitely trying to work on that and editing a little bit. So
you signed with the Green Bay Packers. Everybody's got something that they said, okay, I'm going to kind of put money away, but I'm going to go buy this.
Yeah.
What was your first indulgence?
So the first one was I got a Dodge Durango because I had a car that I was planning on using while I was here, but that's not going to do too well in the snow. So I ended up getting that, and then I'm closing on a house in Nashville at the end of this month. So my girlfriend's back there, and I think that's where I'll be off season. But
the girlfriend's going to be living at the house.
Yep. She'll be in before I even get a chance to see.
Is there the marriage in the future? Or?
It's coming up. I think it's coming up.
Okay. Okay. You're breaking that here. So what you need to do now? You know, you need to go find yourself like a jewelry sponsor.
Yeah. I'm taking suggestions.
One more here, and Rick wants to know. Hey, you're indoctrinated into the land of beer and cheese. Do you have a favorite beer?
I'm a big Blue Moon guy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's orange been, slice or no orange slice?
Orange slice for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
That's kind of a Nashville thing, though, isn't it?
It is.
That's all over down there.
A lot of cool craft beers coming out of
Nashville. Yeah, I was going to say, they got a lot of that down there. They got the craft beers with the barbecue and all the different. So some of the better places that if somebody's going to head to Nashville and say, hey, I want to go down there for music, I want to go down there for barbecue, and I want to go down there for fun, where are you going to go?
I would definitely say Edley's Barbecue. That's my go-to. Even when I was back there for the bye week, that was one of the first.
Now, when you walk in, do they say Oren?
No, not on that level yet. But any family members or friends that come to Nashville, I bring them there. Great barbecue, good drinks, and it's just a cool atmosphere. They have the TVs up for games and things like that.
That's a city that's just been booming.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been glowing.
Everybody
been
that tells me they've gone to Nashville says you got to go.
Yeah,
and I've only flown in and flown out for games.
Yeah.
I've never had a chance to really go and experience.
You get a chance to go down Broadway at all?
I went down Broadway. We hit one bar.
Okay.
Did a little music. A couple of friends wanted to go hear some country bands, and
you peek your head into any of the bars on Broadway. There's live music. It's awesome.
Now, are you a country fan?
I kind of learned to love it. Yeah. I'm a big Jason Aldean fan, so that's my.
Oh,
favorite,
really? Yeah, there you go. Artist, yeah. Okay, there you go. That is Oren Burks. Great to get to know you, man. I appreciate it a little bit. There you go, Oren Burks, ladies and gentlemen. Time for us to get out of here. Another terrific one here at the Lodge Kohler and Tavern in the Sky for the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Time for us to go. Have a great night. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.